All right, let's turn to James chapter number 1 tonight. James chapter number 1. We're going to talk about a subject that some folks think preachers talk about all the time, matter of money. I try not to rail on it too much myself. I know we do talk about missions giving once a year, and every now and then I'll delve into the matter of stewardship. But you know, the issue of money has been a prominent one from the beginning of the world. In fact, it's why Jesus spoke a great deal about it so much himself. I didn't compile these statistics, but somebody has gone in and counted this stuff. I'll take their word for it. All right, I didn't follow up and make sure it was right. But 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with money and possessions. 16 of 38. One out of 10 verses in the Gospels, that's 288 verses, deal directly with money. The Bible has about 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. So I spend a lot less time preaching about money, maybe, than what I should, but why all this talk about money and possessions? Because Jesus understood so well the tremendous influence that money has in our lives. Social research supports the biblical emphasis on the issue of money. The fellow that does all the research, the George Barna's research, you probably heard of that name. But he found in his surveys that 50% of Christians, it's kind of surprising, 50% of Christians consider money to be the primary indicator of success. Well, preachers have failed, if that be the case. Failed to teach folks. 19% of Christians believe you can tell how successful a person is by examining what they own. Again, success has nothing to do with money and possessions. Has nothing to do with it. Now, James didn't miss the emphasis on money and possessions and the teaching of Jesus. In fact, as we go through this book of James, we're going to find that in four different passages, James discusses the issue of money and possessions. And the first of these is James 1, verse number 9. Let's read verse 9 through 11 here. He said, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." Now, in this passage, we see James addresses our attitudes related to the matter of wealth and poverty. Now, I know there's probably not many of us or any of us in this room that would consider ourselves rich in this world's possessions. But when you compare what we have to most of the world would look at us and say, "Boy, you guys are rich." Am I right? I mean, you look at some of the poorer areas of the world, and there's a lot of them. We are rich. And we see here that he challenges us to view people and possessions through eyes that see things through the framework of godly values. And that's what ought to set our values, is the Word of God. Amen. God ought to set our values, the things that we value. Now, there in verse 9 and 10, we see a biblical understanding of possessions should change our view of ourselves and others. Notice again verse 9 and 10. He says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he passeth away." Now, the standard view, even at this time when James was writing this, was that spiritual standing was indicated by material standing. The poor were viewed as being ignored or even punished by God. And the wealthy were viewed as blessed by God. And so, consequently, the wealthy were viewed as spiritually blessed and worthy and of special treatment, while the poor were considered spiritually poor, and they were oftentimes treated very poorly. And when we get to chapter number 2, I want you to look at chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. James addresses this. He says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." In other words, don't look at somebody how they dress, what they put on, how rich they look or how poor they look, and treat them differently because of the way that they are. Look at verse 2. He says, "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" That's the idea. James indicates that our salvation calls for us to view ourselves and others in an entirely different way, though. The poor man should take pride in his high position. Think about it. A poor man that's got Jesus is rich. He is. He's rich beyond all measure. Though he's materially poor, he has become spiritually rich in Jesus Christ. And though he has no honor in worldly terms, he is exalted and given dignity in Christ. Christ loved that man enough to die for him and to save his soul from hell and to give him an exalted position in heaven. Think about it. Now, the rich man should take pride in his low position. Though he's materially rich, he has been humbled by the realization that his riches cannot bring him eternal life. I mean, he may have been in his life thinking, boy, you know, I got things made in this life. And then all of a sudden, God does something to get his mind on the fact that you're not going to be around here all the time. Your time is limited in this world. And the Holy Spirit convicts his heart of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And he gets saved, gets born again. And then he has true riches, doesn't he? We see, look at, I want you to turn to Psalm 49 for just a moment. Psalm 49. This addresses this. Though materially rich, he's been humbled by the realization that his riches cannot bring him eternal life. And that's what Psalm 49 addresses. Psalm 49, verse number 1. Says, "Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together." Now skip down to verse 6. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations, and they call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish." See what I'm saying? The rich man should take pride in his low position by humbling himself before the Lord Jesus Christ. The rich man has come to receive true riches in Christ. Now, this is because both the rich man and the poor man find their hope in the spiritual reality of God's grace in Christ Jesus. Think about it. In Christ, our material standing does not matter. Doesn't matter how much you have, doesn't matter how little that you have. The poor man is not kept from the treasures of heaven by his poverty, and the rich man cannot gain the treasures of heaven by his wealth. So, that's a biblical understanding of possessions that should change our view of ourselves and others. Second thing I want you to see tonight is a biblical understanding of possessions should change our view of our possessions. It should change our view of what we have. Because both the possessions and their possessors shall pass away. Look at verse number 10 and 11 again. But the rich in that he's made low, because as the flower, here it is, as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. James uses the example of the wildflowers, which appear for just a little time, then they're scorched with a hot sun of the summer heat, and they die. And it's that same way with possessions and their possessors. They're here for a very short time, and then they're gone. Now, the point is that we should not place eternal significance on that which is temporal. Okay? Everything that you own, physically speaking, is temporal. It's temporal. We're going to leave it all behind one day. Doesn't matter how much or how little that you have. Material wealth doesn't last. We can't depend on it to secure eternal blessing. We're going to die one day, and our wealth will be left behind. We should not depend on that which we cannot take beyond the grave. I heard a story about a man who loved money more than anything. He worked all his life, and he hoarded as much as he could. Just before he died, he told his wife, he said, when I die, I want you to put all my money in the casket with me. And I want to take my money to the afterlife with me. And she promised him that she would. At his funeral, just before the undertakers closed the casket, his wife put a box in the casket. The casket was closed and rolled away, and the wife's friend said, I know you didn't just put all that money in there with that man. You weren't foolish enough to do that, were you? The wife said, I promised him I'd put the money in the casket. Her friend asked, you mean to tell me you put that money in the casket with him? She said, yeah, I wrote him a check. Listen, there's coming a day when all our accumulated wealth is going to be just as good as that check, right? In the grave with it. When the petals of this fragile flower that we call life have wilted and died, our possessions are going to be of no value to us. We dare not place our trust in our material things. One man got very upset with his pastor for talking about God's ownership of all things and the transitory nature of our possessions. So the man invited the preacher over to his lavish estate. He walked him through the gardens and the woods of it. He just had acres and acres and just lavish buildings there on his estate. And when the tour was complete, he said, now you're going to tell me that all this land does not belong to me? And the pastor smiled and said, ask me that same question 100 years from now. Because he's going to leave it all behind. No matter how much it was or how little it was. Listen to me. 100 years from now, perhaps 50 years from now, or 10 years from now, or perhaps tonight, you're going to leave it behind. We don't know, do we? Our possessions are going to mean absolutely nothing. We will be gone, or they will be gone, or both will happen. They just don't last. We dare not trust in them. For our eternity, we must trust in the grace of Jesus Christ alone. I want you to think about the seductive power of possessions. Many who are rich in the things of this world have the philosophy of get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. You know what I'm talking about. They earn as much as they can, try to save it all up, and then, boy, they don't want anybody touching it, and they're not going to give it away. They're going to keep it to themselves. That's what they're going to do. By and large, the world views treasure in terms of bank accounts, houses, stocks, cars, boats, businesses, those kinds of things. In the world's eyes, the accumulation of these treasures is significant. In fact, a lot of times the importance of people is measured by how much of this treasure they own and control. My wife and I joke at times, In fact, we joked till Friday night. We went to the Renaissance over at the World Golf Village for the Gideon Banquet. And I told her, I said, we don't belong. and we didn't belong there. And you talk about they had valet parking available. Well, I can park my own car, thank you very much, for what you're going to want me to tip you. You know? But what I'm saying is that you know, the world views very highly those that have things. And the accumulation of these treasures can be significant. In fact, a lot of times the importance of people is measured by how much of this treasure they own and control. So how seductive is this view of possessions? I want you to consider all the financial scandals that have been in the news just in the last few years. Boy, it just seems like more and more of them coming out, don't they? The desire to gain possessions and the accompanying sense of control and prestige it's led many executives and businesses into personal and financial ruin. People, for the quest of having more, they violate laws, and they wind up with being stripped of those things and put in prison. Listen, that's what happens when possessions become the possessor. As one man described it, it's like a fly who lands on flypaper and thinks it's his flypaper. Think about that for just a minute. He doesn't realize until it's too late that the flypaper has him. James is trying to help us adopt a view of possessions which keeps our possessions from possessing us. I wonder tonight, are your possessions possessing you? Are you neglecting your spiritual life because you're consumed with accumulating more of this world's possessions? It's not wrong to have things, folks, but it is wrong for things to have you. Sometimes folks' families suffer so that they can maintain a certain lifestyle which they've come to associate with success. My wife and I, no matter when we were in the good times, financially speaking, back when I was in business for myself in the tax business before I went back full-time into the ministry. I was preaching in the prisons back then, had a thriving tax business. I was earning $50 an hour, but we didn't live lavishly. We didn't live lavishly. In fact, we lived about like what we live now. We didn't drive the fancy cars. We didn't have a big bank accounts. We lived realizing that we couldn't allow the possessions to possess us. Some folks have such a tight hold on their wealth that they have trouble giving of their possessions what God would have them to give. I'm talking about, some people don't tithe. Some people don't give to missions. Some people don't give benevolently when there's a need. I thank God that we have got many great people that do those things, that tithe and give faith promise missions, and they give you whatever. I thank God for those type of folks. But listen, don't be controlled by the seductive power of possessions. Think about the true treasures that you've been blessed with. Think about that for just a minute. The true treasures. Our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Talking about our salvation. What price are you going to put on that? What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I mean, you think about all the wealth that's in this world. All of it together, combined. If you could have it from day one when you were born into this world, and be born with a silver spoon in your mouth and live in luxury all your life, then die and wind up going to hell, what good would it do you? None at all, right? None at all. We've got true treasure in Christ and our salvation. And think about all the spiritual treasure that comes with that relationship. Earthly possessions are not eternal, but all that we possess in Christ Jesus is eternal. Amen? Praise God for that. The spiritual treasure of Jesus Christ should change the way that we view wealth and poverty. It's better to be earthly poor, spiritually rich. Whether you have a little or whether you have much in terms of earthly wealth, matters nothing when you stand before God. The rich man and the poor man stand on level ground. We'll be right there. When we appear before the Lord, the only thing we're going to be able to boast in is what Christ has done. No boasting on our part. The true treasure of Jesus is the only thing that's going to matter then. For the believer, it's not the amount of material things that we possess, but how we use them that matters to God. How do you use what God gives you? You understand, God allows wealth to pass through our hands. Material things are a gift from God, bestowed to us for His purposes. How much of what God has given you do you look to Him as a steward to say, God, you gave me this. How do you want me to use it? What's the best way that you want me to use this for your purposes? We're stewards or managers of those gifts. When we die, it's not going to matter much what we had, but rather what we did with it that influences our reward in heaven. I want you to turn one last passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter number 6. Some of you know exactly where I'm going. Matthew chapter number 6, Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus Christ is preaching here, and He talks about treasures in verse number 19, Matthew 6, verse 19. And this is what He says. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure at tonight? There was a fellow by the name of Clovis Chapel who told a story of the evacuation of the city of Pompeii, which was destroyed back in A.D. 79 by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. We know that from the history books. During the excavation of the city, they found a body embalmed by the ashes of the volcano. It was that of a woman. Her feet were turned toward the city gate, like she was getting ready to run out. But her face was turned backward toward something that lay just beyond her outstretched arms and hands. That she was reaching out for, the prize for which those frozen fingers were reaching, was a bag of pearls. A bag of pearls. Chapel says this. He says, though death was hard at her heels, and life was beckoning to her beyond the city gates, she could not shake off their spell. She had turned to pick them up with death as her reward. Listen, don't let the spell of temporal possessions keep you from what God has for you. Don't let it keep you from everlasting life. Don't try to fill the emptiness of your life with things that will only fade and pass away. Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy the longing of our souls. He alone will give you eternal treasure. As believers, those of us that are believers tonight, don't allow your possessions to possess you. Don't miss out on the true blessings of family and friends and fellowship with God, ministry in His church, because you're consumed with accumulating material things. View your possessions through the eyes of Christ. Someone has well said, the man who has no money is poor. The man who has only money is poorer still. Don't let the worldly illusion of material success lead you down the path of an empty life. Amen. There's a lot of wisdom in what James has to tell us there. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we just thank You tonight for the time we've had in the Word. Lord, help us to have a proper view, Your view, of the material possessions that we have. Give us, Lord, the reality that we are just stewards. We don't own anything. Lord, you allow wealth to pass through our hands, but you allow it for your purposes. Yes, we have to live. But Lord, we ought to ask you and look to you as to how you would have us to spend that you allow to pass through our hands. Lord, I don't know tonight if there might be one here without Christ, but if so, help them to come to know Jesus tonight. Lord, those of us that do know you, Lord, help us to have a right view of the possessions of this world and to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and where thieves don't break through or steal. Realizing that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Help us to have a heavenly-minded heart. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand. We'll have a hymn of invitation. God's spoken to you tonight, and you need to come. I'll give you an opportunity to come to the altar. If I can be of help, I'll be standing in front.